Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be spending the evening in Leviticus chapter 2. Last week we were in chapter 1. This week we'll continue on into chapter 2, and next week into chapter 3 and 4 and 5 in the following weeks. But I want to be looking at, as we look at Leviticus in these first few chapters, is the question is, how do we enter into the presence of God? How should we enter into the presence of a holy God? And we looked last week at the burnt offering that was offered by worshipers to make the worshiper acceptable in the sight of God. And we saw that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the sacrifice, that he is the one who makes us acceptable to enter into the presence of God. And we can do so boldly because of the work that he has done on our behalf. Tonight we're going to be looking at a different offering that was given in the Old Testament times, and we're going to find out a little bit about what has happened with that offering in our times. And it's called the cereal offering or the grain offering. There's different names that are used for it. And we'll be looking at that in Leviticus chapter 2 in a moment. This past week, my daughter Abigail, whom you know, began kindergarten, and I'm proud and excited, and I love everything about it. I went into school with her to meet her teacher on Monday or Tuesday. I think it was on Monday. And I was mesmerized by the teacher, the kindergarten teacher. Kindergarten teachers, a good kindergarten teacher has an ability to grasp you in, and you just are drawn to their attention, to everything that they say and everything that they do. They have a way of taking you in. But as my daughter gets to know this teacher and the other students begin to get to know this teacher, especially during Christmas time or towards the end of the year, students often bring gifts to the teacher, right? We bring apples to teacher. That's the proverbial thing that you bring to a teacher is an apple. I don't know why, but you bring an apple. Because teachers don't want apples, we bring golden apples or wooden apples or little trinkets that they probably throw away after they get. But the teachers are still thankful for the thoughtfulness of what the student has done, what the student has brought to them. And you notice that the better the teacher, the more gifts they have on their table, the more a student desires to bring a gift to this teacher. A good teacher is worthy to receive gifts. But even though a student brings a gift to this teacher, we say things like, "This is just a small token of my appreciation for what you have done in my life. I'm thankful for what you've done, but I can't give you everything that I want to give to you, but I just give you a little bit. I give you a tiny bit." What do you do? What do you give to God? What do you give to God who is worthy to receive all things? How do you enter into the presence of a God who is the giver of all good things that you have? How do you enter into the presence of a God who has made everything that is good? How do you enter into the presence of a God who has given you all good things? A God who needs nothing but asks for everything from us. We offer him a small token, a token in faith, like that apple that we give to a teacher. It's not everything that we want or need to give to this worthy God. But we give it in a token to say, "God, everything that I have, I want to offer to you." And that's what we see tonight in Leviticus chapter 2. Read with me in verses 1 through 3, and we're just going to read this small section, and I'll comment on some other parts of this passage. Leviticus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil, with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offerings belong to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. Entering into the presence of a worthy God. We enter into the presence of a worthy God with our participation. These verses that I've just read explain how somebody brings a grain offering, a cereal offering, and they participate in this offering. They don't just throw a bag of flour to a priest and say, take this. I noticed this cart out here with bread out here. You can drop off bread and you can, you know, just throw it in and take off. And that's fine. That's good. That's good that people offer these things. But God is asking us to do some preparation, to actually get involved, not just to send our money, not just to send our goods, but to enter in and to participate in the worship of Him. It describes this whole process, just like in the burnt offering that we read about last week. The offerer, the worshiper, takes a knife and he slits the throat of the animal that he's offering. He's a participant in this sacrifice. Here in this offering, he takes the flour and he mixes it with oil and he mixes it with frankincense, which we're going to talk about in a moment. He does things. He mixes it together. If we read the rest of this passage, we would see that sometimes people bake things. They put it in the oven and then they brought it to the temple to offer it to the Lord. See, this worshiper made preparation to enter into the presence of God. And then he would grab this mixture, this dough, and he would take it. And he would give it to the priest. And it says that the priest would take this handful of dough, and would burn it completely. And he called it a memorial portion. A memorial portion. It was a memory, a reminder. It was a memorial portion. Was a reminder to the people that this little bit that they're giving is a symbol of them giving everything to the Lord. It was a reminder that everything that they had was from the Lord. It was a reminder that everything that they have, they offer for the service of their King, of this worthy Lord and God. It's a reminder to God. See, God doesn't forget things, but when the Scripture says that God remembers, you find it again and again in the Old Testament. It says, and God remembered Noah. And God remembered Abraham. God remembered David. He's always not just remembering with his mind, but he's doing something to protect these people. He's doing something to look out for these people. He's acting on the fact that he remembers us. He's taking this portion and remembering us. And he's acting on our behalf. But we're to give. We're to offer. We're to let go of these things that God has given to us and offer him, offer these things to the Lord. So as we enter into the presence of this worthy God, we are to actively participate, to prepare, to offer ourselves to this worthy God. Now you might wonder why we don't do this today. Why is it that this word, this living word, tells us to offer these things at the temple? The reason we don't do this today is because Jesus has been the perfect sacrifice. He has offered himself perfectly to the Father. He has given the gift that cannot be bested. He has given that golden apple to the teacher that we can't ever beat and we can't ever compete with. He's done it once for all. And no longer do we need this temple. The temple has been fulfilled and completed. But still, the scriptures in the New Testament, after Jesus had offered this sacrifice for us, the scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 12, it says, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is what Leviticus is talking about, and which is fulfilled in our lives as we present ourselves completely and fully, totally, everything that we are and everything that we have into his presence. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we as believers are like these living stones that are being built up into a temple, into a spiritual house, where the priests can offer up spiritual sacrifices. We get to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. Things like our money, things like our time, things like our work and our efforts and our speech. These are the things that we offer up to God. And we do it all day long, every day. But notice that as these worshipers entered into the presence of God, they had to bring something worthy, ingredients that were worthy of this God. If you've been to McDonald's, you know that the hamburger meat has been substituted in some way. We don't really know what's in a hamburger at McDonald's. But they put stuff in, and you know that this doesn't taste as good as a real Angus beef, 100% Angus beef burger, does it? There's been a substitute made. God has asked that these things be made, and they're important, and they signify something important. First, you're to bring fine flour. You're to bring the inside of the flour, the best part of the flour, to the Lord. You're to bring oil on this. Now, oil signifies that this is set apart for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is signaled as the person who is an oil that is upon us as we present ourselves to the Lord. But more important, this oil represents joy. That we offer these things in joy, not with a stingy heart. And then we put frankincense on this. It's a pleasing aroma. When it's put on the fire, it lofts up into the air, and people smell it, and you smell it, and the Lord smells it and receives it and says, yes, I accept this. This is good. This is good. And then if we read on in verses 4 through 10, you find that there's something about baking that comes into play. See, you could bring a loaf of bread or a cracker you could bring to the Lord. But there were one thing that you couldn't bring in with this. You couldn't have yeast or leaven that lifted it up and made it into a big lumpy loaf. The reason for this is because it corrupts the dough. It changes the dough. It transforms the dough, and it pervades throughout the dough. When Jesus hears the Pharisees teaching, and they're telling all the people these lies, he says their teaching is like the leaven that pervades into the people and changes and corrupts and destroys people's lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that you're not to bring an offering of leaven with malice. These evil things that you bring to the table, the presence of the Lord. But you're to bring unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. Leaven corrupts. And then look in verse 13. I'll read from verse 13. Something else that you bring with this. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Salt. Why would you put salt on a cracker? The first reason is because it preserves. If you put salt on meat, it helps it from rotting and decaying. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. We're the people who preserve this world from its present decay. If we weren't in this world to bring the light that we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the world. This world would be in darkness. This world would be totally and completely corrupted. We're to bring this salt that preserves this covenant that we have with God. But salt does something else, too. As you put this cracker in your mouth, the priests were the only ones who could eat this offering. But you could taste. You could bring out the flavors of this bread, this yummy bread. Salt brings flavor to the presence of the person who eats it. So we're to bring proper ingredients to a worthy God. Proper ingredients. What he has asked from us, we are to bring. Nothing more, nothing less. And finally, as we enter into the presence of this very worthy God, we are to bring attitudes of worship. Attitudes of worship. In verse 12 and 14 through 16, the text talks about bringing your first fruits. Your first fruits. Your first fruit was the first fruit that came in the year, in the spring, as you planted a crop. After some time, the crop would grow and the fruit would come up. That very first fruit that you grab off and you taste, and it's the first fruit of the season. We're tired of fruit by now, but the very first fruit of the season is so delicious. That first strawberry that you taste. You're not to take this for yourself. You're to take it to the Lord. You see, when we offer the first things to God, we offer them in trust and in faith that he is going to present to us the second things or the third things that he is going to provide for us later on. We're thanking him in advance for what he is already going to provide for us in the future. Now, I read Stephen Tyndale's sermon from a few weeks ago. And he said that sometimes the men in the mission, is they get jobs, they take that first paycheck, and they go and they buy beer, or they buy drugs, and they do things with it which they ought not to do, and they know they ought not to do. But what if they took this paycheck and they took it and they offered this first fruit that they have received and offered it to the Lord, either in part or in whole? Wouldn't that solve the problem of drugs and alcohol and using your money for things which you should not use them for? Present your first. Present your second. Present your third. Present your all to the Lord. The Lord is asking for us for worshipful attitudes in bringing the best. We bring that fine flour, that good part of the flour. We don't bring the bad part of the flour. We bring the good and the best that we can offer. Bring your first. Bring your best. And as we spoke about with the oil, you put this oil of joy and oil of gladness, as it says in Psalm 45, oil signifies joy. We bring our joy as we offer to the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If we come with stinginess and we hold back and we offer in joyless attitudes, God is not pleased with that offering. God loves a cheerful giver. And give with a memory. Give with the reminder in your heart that what you give is just a small piece of what you really want to offer to God, and that's all that you are, all that you have. All of you are completely and totally His. And we give Him our all. We give Him our all because He is worthy. He is like that teacher who deserves a desk full of gifts from his students or her students. Randy Briscoe, it was Briscoe, right, who used to preach here? He used to say something that is stuck in my mind forever. He said, "You can tell the value of something by how much somebody is willing to pay for it." And he would say that Jesus Christ was willing to pay His whole and complete life in order for you to live with Him forever. You're so valuable to God that He would give Himself completely and totally in order for you to be with Him. You are so valuable that you are worth that to Him. But how valuable is God to you? This God who has offered Himself as a sacrifice to atone, to make us acceptable, to cleanse us from our sins. How valuable is this God to you? Are you willing to give Him your everything? Or do you hold back most everything? Do you even offer Him that token, or do you hold back that token for yourself? We are called to enter into the presence of this worthy God, offering our first, offering our best, offering our last, and offering everything, all in joy, all in faith, that He is the giver of all good things and the one who will care for us and love us forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would stir within our hearts the knowledge that You are worthy of everything that we are and everything that we have, and that we can trust You completely and fully with these things. Go with us, Lord, that we might enter into Your presence joyfully and in faith. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.